This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us right toward the end of our 5 o'clock hour. I want to tell everybody at 520, Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, will join us to talk about commitments for LSU, which I mean, today I don't know how far you can go with that, and also the latest on LSU's spring drills in football. And at 540, Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, Nicholls State Colonel, star pitcher, and pitched in the majors, I think 9 years, is on with us. He covers LSU for us and does a great job covering the Tiger baseball team. Dropped 2 of 3 against a really good Texas Longhorn team. We've had some texts asking me about exactly where Dylan Radins will play for the Saints. Now, he's played across the board for the Titans in the time he's been there. He's played left tackle, left guard, right tackle, and he's played more right guard and right tackle than any other spot. And last year, exclusively, he was a right guard for the Titans. But I think they're going to put him on the left side. And I think he's going to battle Nick Saldiveri there. I know the prior regime and their offensive line coaches, along with people in the front office still today, still think a lot of Nick Saldiveri. So I think that battle here. Now, Saldiveri's got to prove he can stay healthy, because him and Kendra Miller, it's not that they don't have talent, but, you know, come on, you got to be on the field to actually show it. And both of them have really struggled in their inability to see any really significant playing time. So to answer the question, I think you're going to see Dylan Radins be the left guard, or given that opportunity to win that left guard spot. And I don't think this team has given up on Nick Saldiveri. I think they're going to give it a shot. But again, with Nick, I can't tell you if he's a good player or not. He just hasn't been on the field much for him to prove if he is or he isn't. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. I was charging my phone when I heard you guys talking. But listen, I think we got to give the head coach a shot and really do what he needs to do in terms of getting a quarterback. I mean, look at the guy in Indianapolis. He still hasn't picked his own quarterback. He's got to get a guy that fits his system. He may not fit Sean's system. He may not fit, you know, whoever's system, but he's a guy to fit his system. And I think that supersedes whether he, you know, because listen, we're talking Jackson Dart, you know, but if he doesn't go 9, he's definitely going to Pittsburgh at 21 or whatever it is. Then you got the guy from, Indiana? I like him. I don't hear guys mention him that much, but he's kind of old. He's like 25, right?
Curtis Rourke from Indiana?
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah. No, I think he's talking about the Louisville quarterback.
Oh, Tyler Shaw?
Yeah.
I think Tyler may go a lot higher than people think he'll go. I don't think he'll go in round 1.
No.
But I think he'll go in the second round. If you don't figure out the quarterback situation, James, you know it as well as I do. If you don't figure that out, you bailing water at this stage. You're just bailing water. And, man, it would take you a hell of a deal to jump from 9 to 1 to get Cam Ward. Hey, I can say I like him, but can I come up with a deal to make it work at that spot? And if you look at the Titans on how they built, they got a head coach that's on the thinnest of ice with a new GM and an owner that she don't want to hear no excuses. One thing with Miss Amy, she is determined to get that situation straightened out because they have a new multi-billion dollar stadium. They are trying to make sure it gets filled, and that means suites and seats. And the NFL's great, okay, when you're winning. But it sometimes when you're losing, it's difficult to sell that unless you got a top quarterback, and they don't have it. But she was told Will Levis is the answer by the prior regime. That's why they're not there anymore. It will take a heck of a deal, but I agree with you. Until the Saints figure this out at quarterback, you just kind of swirling around in that football purgatory range. So I agree with you that the coach is going to have to be given some slack here because of the fact he didn't walk into a situation like what Jim Harbaugh walked into in L.A. He didn't have the guy there.
And I know we talked about this in the first hour as well, Mike, but it's kind of hard to envision that reality where the Saints do trade up from 9-1. You're going to deplete all of your future assets, really, to do it. What do you think the price tag is? Like, let's talk about this. I remember the Bears did it, obviously, a couple years ago, trading back from number one overall with the Panthers, right? The Panthers had to give up their first-round pick that year, their first-round pick the year following, which ended up being the number one overall pick, funny enough. That's how the Bears get Caleb Williams. And then they had to give up extra draft assets on
and a third.
On day two.
A second and a third.
So you're talking about if you move back or if you move up from pick 9 to pick 1 to go out and get Cam Ward, I think they could sell that, right? Just based off the fact that, Kellen Moore loves this guy. He sees him as the quarterback of the future. They definitely could sell it. But the question is it worth the price tag to do so?
Okay,
I'm not sure.
Here's my deal, too. If you're picking the guy with the first overall pick in the draft, he ain't watching.
That's true as well.
He's playing. And you made the decision, not say Kellen Moore, but management did, to give a veteran quarterback $40 million a year this year. So, but I'm going to tell you, whoever picks Cam Ward, they're going to be sitting and watching. Cam Ward's playing year one and first game in year one, unless he's injured.
And I think he's the most pro-ready of any of these guys. We've talked about this class, Mike. It's developmental. Quinn Ewers, like Jalen Milroe, if you can throw these guys out day one, they're not going to be successful. Cam Ward, I think of anyone in this class, including Shedeur Sanders, including Jackson Dart, including Tyler Shaw, all these other guys, right? He's the one that you can throw out day one and feel pretty good
about.
He's
the most talented.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. You watch him throw a football, and Charlie, it's unreal. When you break down the film on him, he does not really set up, and with that over-the-top delivery, man, it's our arm talent. And it shocks me. He really doesn't set to throw a ball much. Now, first thing a quarterback coach is going to do is he's going to work with him on him setting his feet, throwing, on balance and delivery. It's remarkable to watch him throw a football. And when you watch him play at Miami or Florida, most of that, he's just throwing, standing straight up, throwing it with his arm.
So, Mike, I think, and once again, the Bryce Young trade is the most,
The most recent, and that's what you would go
by. And it's the closest because you're making the jump from 9-1, including the quarterback tax and whatever. The Panthers got the number one overall pick in 2023. They traded DJ Moore, their top wide receiver. They traded a 2023 first-round pick, which is the 9th overall, as I mentioned, moving up from 9-1. They traded their 2023 second-round pick, number 61 overall that year. 2024 first-round pick, which ended up being the number one overall selection, Caleb Williams, once again, that's how they got him, and a 2025 second-round pick. Two firsts, two seconds, and a stud receiver just to move up 8 spots in the draft. That's probably what you'd have to do.
It's going to be the exact same thing. That's what, if I'm the Titans, that's what I want from you. I mean, you can cut it all kind of different ways.
Precedence. That's kind of what I'm trying to explain to people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's happened before, but it's just the price tag is astronomical when you look at that type of value just to move up 8 selections in the draft.
And so you can like him and think he's your next star quarterback. And if you think that way, you may be willing to do it. You might be willing to do it, Charlie. I'm just telling you, I've seen it crazier things. I saw the Ricky Williams trade, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I was right there when it happened. And so, listen, when teams get it in their head that they want a certain player, they're willing to do it. But from a standpoint of you just made the decision that you're going to give, your veteran quarterback $40 million a year, Well, if he's on the roster, and I couldn't believe that there's no way he would be on this roster if you're going to make that deal for Cam Ward. That you're not keeping him on this football team. You would have to ship him off after June 1st. But you've made a big commitment. You made a huge commitment to a football player, and that's why the Panthers are going to give Bryce Young every opportunity not to make it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mike, we had mentioned the bad financial decision, really, with the Saints committing to Derek Carr for this upcoming season.
I don't get it, but whatever.
You were the first kind of pushing it that if he's not your guy, if he's not your quarterback of the future, which he's not, then move on. Cut your losses. It hasn't worked. But the Saints have decided not to do that. So now at this point, look, I get the dreams of trading up to number one for Cam, but that's the price tag that I mentioned. And at the same time, you have a big, $50 million quarterback sitting. So it's tough.
Oh, he's going to be on another team, one of the two. When we come back, we'll have on with the Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, talking about LSU spring workouts and a couple commitments going to LSU over the last few days for the Tiger football team for 2026. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTillia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes here. We're on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Of course, man. I appreciate it. It's always fun talking ball with you guys. Looking forward to a little LSU football.
How about that? Over the weekend, let's talk, I don't know what commitments are today, to be honest with you. I told this to Charlie, they ain't worth the piece of paper. It's written on them commitments. And until they sign, you never really know. But Jabari Mack, I got to see him play. He plays at Destrehan, which is right up the road from where I live. And, man, he was on a group. They had Phillip Wright on that team, who's also headed to LSU. And at one time, Zach, Chehaze Thomas, who's an LSU player today, he started out as a receiver, and then they moved him to the secondary. Man, they got some talent at that wide receiver position at Destrehan. But Jabari becomes the fourth wide receiver commitment for the 2026 class. And when you look at the numbers, this is a team not only from high school talent, but they're going to be real active in the portal come 2026 for receivers, just because the numbers aren't going to be there, and they're going to lose a lot after that 2025 season.
Absolutely, Mike, and that's spot on. And going out and getting Jabari Mack is as impressive as it gets. The top-ranked receiver in Louisiana kind of keeps that pipeline from LSU to Destrehan alive, of course. Phillip Wright's on his way to LSU. Jace Thomas, of course, on the defensive side of the ball. But getting Jabari Mack into this class is big time to keep that kind of Louisiana culture. We know that there's a history at the receiver position in the Bayou State. So to get another guy to come to LSU and kind of keep that pipeline going is big time. And, of course, he wasn't the only big-time wide receiver to commit to LSU this week. And that kind of segues into Tristan Keyes, the number one wide receiver in America, verbally committing to LSU this week. And it's about as big as it gets, Mike. This is one guy that has just kind of that quote-unquote generational talent written all over him. 6'3", 6'4", with cleats on, 185, 190, still continuing to fill out his frame. And so you add both of those guys this week, and Tristan Keyes and Jabari Mack, pair them next to Jakai Anderson and Kenny Darby, who are both wide receivers currently committed to LSU. And that gives you four guys so far in that 2026 recruiting class that are kind of that cream of the crop caliber players. So Brian Kelly and this recruiting staff are doing some big time work at the receiver position. And like you said, it's a lot of mouths to feed. You could see them in 2026 have to dive into the portal, because not everybody's going to get fed.
Absolutely. And then you get Dylan Pirtle, who's played corner, but when watching him, I'll be honest with you, Zach, he looks to me to be more of a free safety nickel guy at corner. And I don't know what their thoughts on him down the road is, but one thing is he's aggressive in run support. Now, he's a good cover guy, but one thing that's noticeable when you watch him on the tape part of it, man, he comes up that seam fast to help out in run support. That sort of always tells me that's a little bit more about maybe he's the free safety nickel guy for LSU, and we'll find out a little bit more kind of where they project him once they get him on campus.
Absolutely, and Dylan Pirtle is a guy who, in my opinion, is a Swiss Army knife in the defensive backfield, like you alluded to there. They could like him as a safety once he gets to campus just because of his size and speed, like you hit on right there. We know Blake Baker likes to drop in nickel packages, so that could be where Dylan Perter kind of finds his bread and butter at the next level. Right now, he's listed as a cornerback, of course, but I think once the wheels start turning and he gets his way to Baton Rouge in the next couple of months to a year, I think this is a guy who could be playing safety for the Tigers in the future, and he adds to an embarrassment of riches for LSU right now in that 2026 recruiting class. And when you're hot, right? And that's exactly what Brian Kelly and the Tigers staff are right now, going out and adding Perter to this class.
And since the spring started, tell me something that's been the biggest surprise and maybe the biggest disappointment for you so far. And I know it's early, but the biggest surprise for this LSU Tiger team, and we know they're rebuilding up front along the offensive line, and maybe a comment about Josh Thompson coming in from Northwestern, but maybe the biggest surprise, maybe biggest disappointment.
Yeah, the biggest surprise for me, Mike, is this edge rusher's room. I mean, I knew that this group was going to be elite. I think a lot of people knew that they were going to have some talent, let me say. I didn't know that they would be elite. And you're looking at Jack Pyburn, the Florida transfer, who is sensational, a full 6'5", 255. He looks the part out there, and they've been flipping him around a little bit, inside, outside. Another guy who could be used as a Swiss Army knife in the trenches for this team. And then you look at Patrick Payton, who's that kind of crown jewel in the transfer portal class in the winter window, and he looks the part out there too. So those are two guys who are going to make immediate impacts through the portal, and then you can continue to fill out the rest of that two-deep depth chart with guys like Gabriel Relaford, who's a returnee from last season, who has just tremendous, tremendous expectations coming into this year. Brian Kelly, players, other staffers, everybody continues raving about Gabriel Relaford, so I think he's going to be important to keep tabs on there. And then kind of the final piece to that two deep depth chart is going to be Jamari Butler, the Nebraska transfer. And this guy is starting to turn heads, show flashes, and it's going to take a little bit of time for him to put it together in SEC play. But I think nonetheless, he fills out that four deep depth chart really, really well for the edge rusher room. So that's a spot that's really, really surprised me just because of the technique. Kevin Peoples is getting them right, the depth, et cetera. Loving what I've seen from that edge rusher's room. And then when I'm looking at a quote-unquote disappointment, I'd have to look at the safety position for right now. And I don't think disappointment's the right word there. I think it was always going to take some time for them to adapt and kind of hit their stride. But when you're comparing them to the cornerback room that has so much talent like DJ Pickett, of course, Mansoor Delane, Ashton Stamps, PJ Woodland, et cetera, it's always going to make that safety room look a little thin and that competition level be a little bit weaker. So for me, the safety room is a spot that's going to continue to need some work. You're working with Tamarcus Cooley, Javian Toviano, Joel Rogers, and Deshaun Spears in that room right now. I'd love to see them go out and get another body through the portal, but that's the spot right now that I think needs some work over the next couple of months.
Josh Thompson.
Man, one word for me when it comes to Josh Thompson is a Swiss Army knife again. It's the third time I've said it, and it speaks to the versatility on this team. But Josh Thompson's the guy who's going to come in and play guard for this team is my assumption. They have him as the second-team right tackle for now. I think that's a placeholder. I think moving forward, this is the guy who's going to slide inside, give you some versatility in the run game. Love what he provides this team, and him getting on campus is big, big for this team moving forward.
Zach, it feels like every time we're talking to LSU reporters about the spring, the same name keeps popping up, and that's Bower Sharp, the Oklahoma transfer. And what have you seen from him so far in the spring practice sessions and, you know, kind of his projection for this upcoming season with that tight end room with Tre'Dez Green? I know that Brian Kelly just gushed about him and the leadership that he provides, especially on the offense, but also the tight end room and how he can play with Green, who's entering his sophomore year in 2025. Your thoughts on Bower Sharp and what he's been doing so far?
Absolutely. And Charlie, I think that's a great question. When you look at a guy like Bower Sharp, he brings tremendous experience. Of course, he started his career out at Southeastern as a quarterback, moved to tight end, made his way to Oklahoma, where he led the team in receptions and receiving yards in 2024. And fast forward to what he's doing during spring camp, and he's turning heads at a rapid pace. He can catch the ball. He can put his hands in the dirt. He's the epitome of a complete tight end in the SEC. And I think all he does is going to really allow Tre'Dez Green to get better and better. The saying iron sharpens iron is key here. We all know that Tre'Dez Green is a guy who can kind of just show flashes of athleticism, versatility, and just show that quote-unquote freakish athleticism. But Bower Sharp is complete. He makes the plays when you need him. He's timely. He's very vocal. We had the chance to talk to him last week, and we really got to get a sense of the type of player that he is. And he's all ball. He just wants to play football. And you're going to see him a lot in 2025. I'm excited to see the outlook for Bauer Sharp, of course, this upcoming season.
Wes Weeks, I mean, we've seen enough of Witt. We know what type of player he is. And so I don't want to compare him to his brother. That's because sometimes, you know, the brotherly competition, and you can just hear it between the both of them. They got it already, and they're used to stoke the fire. But what you've seen from Wes in the spring?
Yeah, Mike, I think it's a good question. I don't think the linebacker room is getting enough talk, obviously, because Witt Weeks is out right now rehabbing that ankle injury. Harold Perkins, of course, shaking back from that torn ACL in 2024. So the second level of defense, you haven't necessarily gotten a lot of attention or praise. But for me, Wes Weeks is a guy who can step in and make the plays when need be. He's a consistent force. He's not a guy who's going to come out and showcase freakish athleticism or just all these big-time highlight reel plays. He's a consistent piece, and he'll do all the right things. And it's exciting to watch him get his chance to really make a name for himself right now. We know what Witt does. But when it comes to Wes, obviously he's that vocal kind of guy who they can utilize moving into the rest of spring camp. And next to him has been Devon Keyes. And he's going to be an interesting piece to watch, Mike. I've had the chance to kind of just sit down and watch his movements and watch his technique. And he's a unique player. He showed flashes in 2024 as a true freshman, but now he's really been thrust into the mix here, where he can take big-time reps during spring camp. And I think you could see him continue taking steps in the right direction. It's going to be fun to watch Blake Baker work with him over the next couple of months, because he's going to take a big-time role for this team in 2025. So I'm excited to see how the linebacker room works out. But Wes Weeks, certainly a guy who's intriguing to watch, fun player, really getting some big-time reps. And next to him, Devon Keyes is going to be another player to keep tabs on.
I want to see Devon put a little bit of weight on. You know, that's something, you know, I wouldn't tell myself, but I would tell him. Because, you know, I take a good look at him. If I'm going to run the football, I'm going to run it right at him. So he's got to learn how to get away from big men. He got to learn how to get away from heavy traffic.
No doubt. And I think that's just it comes with the territory of being a youngster right now. And moving forward, getting in the weight room is going to be key for that entire second level,
yep.
Whether it's Tylan Singleton, et cetera. I mean, you have guys in that room who need to put on size to compete in the SEC, and you're spot on right there. Devon Keyes is another player who needs to put on an additional 10, 15, 20 pounds. He's a true force in the run game at the second level of defense. Really excited to watch him kind of evolve over these next couple of months when they get into summer workouts as well. I think there's a ceiling on him that can be intriguing to watch over the next couple of months.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love having you on. Give great insights, and we appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you so much, you guys. Y'all have a good one.
All righty. Zach Nagy does a great job. Publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. When we come back, former Major League Baseball pitcher, and man, he covers the Tigers for us. Does a great job. Scott Sanders, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, former Major League Baseball pitcher and also does a great job covering the LSU Tigers, Scott Sanders. Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Hey, listen, man, I can't believe this. In an hour and a half, it's been me, Wade Roos from Golden Meta, and you from Thibodeau. Now, the only other Cajun that hasn't been on, and he's hiding from me too, is Bobby.
That's it. Life is good. You got some Bayou Boys on.
How about that? Scott, rough series this weekend against the Longhorns. Man, after the first game, Charlie and I talked about this Wednesday that, you know, Texas, they so well coach, and they got talent. They got talent on that Longhorn team. And you know, watching the first game, and, you know, you end up winning 8-2, and then you saw this myriad of errors in the field. The pitching, man, it all was down a slippery slope, Scott, that Saturday and Sunday game.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, the one really bright spot, obviously, was Cade Anderson.
Yes.
I knew the kid was good, but man, he went out there and he looked like a Friday night SEC starter. You know what I mean? Had the game under control. You know, the one thing I think, looking back on the weekend, I would think the only thing Jay could really probably kick himself for is, you know, he brought in Zach Cowan, and, you know, he threw the last three innings of that game in a 6-2 game, and ended up being 8-2, you know, and I'm sure looking back, he probably was thinking like, man, what if I would have came in with a few other guys, kind of, you know, with like Benj or, you know, a few, somebody like that, you know, to just get, to just brace that game and keep Cowan to back up Ironson on Saturday. But, hey, baseball is a fickle sport. You know, it's always easier on Monday to look back and be a Monday morning quarterback. But tell you what, Texas didn't back down on Saturday. You know, they came out, won the hard-fought game. And one thing about baseball, you win Friday night, but anytime you have that tough game on Saturday like they did, where, you know, it was 6-7-6 and, you know, and just back and forth, that team that wins that game on Saturday always has momentum going into Sunday. And then obviously Texas starter on Sunday just went out and dominated, best start of his career, probably best start of his life. And that's baseball, you know, and, hey, Tigers got to put that behind them because, hey, they play ULL tomorrow, and they better get their stuff together tomorrow, because if not, ULL will put them hang another L on them if they don't look out.
We saw it last year, and it happened when they played Nicholls. Remember that one? They played Nicholls State and lost that game. But, you know, you've talked to me so much about baseball is such a fickle sport, and especially early in the season, and now you're entering SEC play that, hey, it ain't no homecoming games no more. I mean, these guys, man, they can flat-out play every team in the SEC. And you caught early with Missouri. Well, most people thought it was maybe the bottom rung of the ladder in the SEC, but every series, Scott, you brought it up, just how tough the SEC is.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and going back on Texas, I mean, Texas, you know, coming into that series, some people were down on them, obviously. But I tell you what, they they had home. It was their first SEC, you know, weekend ever. So, obviously, that made it even a little bit more special. But, hey, they fought. You know, they had some good pitching. They had timely hitting. And, you know, they just did what they had to do. But that going forward, that's every week going forward in the SEC, you know, for the next umpteen weekends in a row. Like, you know, Mississippi State coming this weekend. You know, it's still Mississippi State. You know, they're not Mississippi State back in the glory days, Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro, but they're still Mississippi State. I mean, you have to go out, you know, and basically put it on the line again. Now, one good thing, you're at home. You know, you're going to have the Tiger fans, best fans in the land, behind you. But the SEC is a gauntlet, man. It doesn't let up.
You know, the good thing is, though, Scott, I feel like people are maybe a little bit overreacting to the series. Like, yes, you play at OU and at Auburn, who are both in the top 15 right now. But as far as, you know, the toughest weekend series on the road in SEC play, you just saw it. I mean, against Texas. And this is going to be a top 10 team all year long. And I don't even know if we undersold it, but just how good Jim Schlossnagel is. He has won every single place he's been.
That dude can manage.
Absolutely. And shockingly enough, he's off to a great start with UT. And so just looking back at the weekend, though, Scott, you mentioned Cade Anderson as a bright spot. I think you saw a couple other ones, too. Zach Cowan, I mean, what else can you say about the guy? The ace from Wofford comes in. He's a bullpen pitcher for LSU. Jay's called him the MVP of the team at points, you know, just for how important he's been in high-leverage moments. And full display how good he is on the mound, too, just following up Cade Anderson in that Friday night win and just shutting down that Texas offense.
Yeah, so Zach is what I would call, he is a pitcher. He throws everything that you're not looking for at the right counts. He throws a fastball when you're looking changeup. He throws a changeup when you're looking fastball. He throws a breaking ball. He pitches backwards a lot. Obviously, Nate Yeske is the one calling the pitches, so you have to give a big shout out to him as well. But it takes Zach Cowan to deliver the pitches, you know. But he's a guy that, you know, when you look at him, like, doesn't blow you off. You know, his fastball is solid. You know, 90, 91, 92, sometimes 88, 89. It might pop a 93, but it's that changeup. You know, we call it a Bugs Bunny changeup in baseball. He's got that changeup that it looks like a fastball, and guys, they commit to it, and it just never gets there. You know what I mean? And to me, it's probably one. And back on Cade Anderson, for the first time I really saw as a pitcher use his changeup this past weekend, and I love to see it because to me it put him on another level as well. You know, Zach has been incredible. Like I said, I'm really hoping they can find a way to win on Friday nights without him, so they can back up either Shores or Ironson with Cowan, because I think that's the recipe to taking two out of three from a lot of SEC teams. Worst case scenario, two out of three.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, Scott, and I think a lot of people will say, oh, Cason Evans should have been used on that Saturday game. And yeah, probably so. If you had to ask Jay if he would do that over, maybe that would be the case, because LSU's bullpen was really, really struggling in that Saturday matchup. But you kind of get the lead with Curiel's big hit, and then all of a sudden you're feeling pretty good about yourself, and then things kind of crumble a little bit. But Cason Evans was another one of those highlights. It feels like you're starting to see some of the main pieces emerge on the mound for this LSU team. We already talked about Cade. We talked about Zach and now also Kaysen, who was kind of the de facto closer at times early on in the season, but he goes out in extended relief innings on Sunday and performs very, very well against a good Texas team.
Yeah, he did. Kaysen really went out and really pitched well. Unfortunately, when he got into the game, basically it was pretty much over. You know, and one thing when I coached a lot of baseball, high school and travel baseball, and the one thing I always try to do is I always try to make sure my dominant arms were in games that meant something. And I know Jay had a game plan, and he ended up having to use him on Sunday because he didn't want to go a week without getting him some work, because he's probably not going to pitch against ULL here on Tuesday. But that's one thing, obviously Kaysen's been out there and been very, very impressive. He comes after guys, he's got 28 strikeouts in 16 innings, with the five walks. That's pretty much going to dominate, only giving up 11 hits. So, he's given up basically one base runner per inning. So, when you're going to give up one base runner per inning, you're going to have a lot of success in baseball. So, he's a guy, though. He's got his spot in the pen, and hopefully this weekend we can get him in a game where he can get one of those saves.
In the first game, Scott, I thought about you when Luis Hernandez came up with some timely hits there. And a couple of weeks back, I asked you, give me a name, and you were quick with Hernandez at the catching spot.
Yeah, I was really glad to see him too because he got up to a little rough start. Obviously, the guy hit 20 some home runs last year or whatever at Indiana State. So obviously the guy can hit, but I was really glad to see him get it going, getting some big hits, pop one over the fence, those type of things. Him behind the plate has really surprised me because supposedly he wasn't a defensive catcher, but he's done a great job with the pitching staff. But I've actually got to meet him a couple of times out of the field. And he's a really, really good kid from Puerto Rico, and he's one of my favorites.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always enjoy your insights. And I say like you, you better get ready because that Raging Cajun team, which has had a rocky road this year, they may be a tough out.
Yeah, well, it's coming to Alex Box. Every time you come to Alex Box, it's kind of like your World Series sometimes, even if you're ULL or Nichols or Southeastern or whoever it is. If you go there, you win that game, it makes your season a lot nicer. So.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Have a great evening.
All righty. Thank you. Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, former Nichols State Colonel, gives us great coverage here on the Big 870 on the LSU baseball team. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number two right after this break. Finishing up here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike D'Tea along with Charlie Long. Got the score 50-49 LSU over Florida State. At the half, want to tell everybody that at 6:30 tonight, it'll be Pelicans pregame as they play the 76ers. And at 7 o'clock, tip-off, you can hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL. Pelicans and Philadelphia 76ers with Graf on the call. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.